Now, what I want to know is who's going to take over at Clemson once Dabo leaves for the Bama job?
Oh, God.
What do y'all think?
It's possible. Dabo has never had the head coach title in full. He's just been interim the whole time. So it reverts back to Tommy Bowden.
What do you bet that is some actual evil contractual stuff that somebody at Clemson pulled on Dabo?
I bet it's not even that. I think Dabo just forgot to sign something. Like it's in his desk. He's like, oh hell, I'll get to that. I got practice to run. I got a new sweatshirt to try out.
And maybe it's just a South Carolina legal thing. He hasn't crossed all the well. They don't really have I's because they don't really use letters. So hasn't really dotted all the no.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, no. I really think he just thought one day, oh, you know, I would sign that, but I got to scoot. Got practice.
Yeah. It's also possible he has some sort of religious aversion. He's like, devil could have given me that contract. I'm not signing nothing.
Yeah,
I haven't signed a check in 15 years.
Don't believe in interest either. Grace is free, and so should money be.
Grace is free. It's amazing old Dabo makes it through the day with all these silly notions rattling around in his head.
By the way, it's really amazing when you realize that you look at coaches and they're really case studies in why you shouldn't be good at anything but really good at one thing. Mm-hmm. That you can go a long way in life if you're only kind of good at one thing.
Now, Dabo, good at motivating people? Would that be the thing he's really good at?
Man, he's just kind of good at being Dabo.
Okay, he's
you know,
excellent.
Yeah, you know how like in movies, some certain actors are just paid for being themselves? Sure. Right? Like, really, yeah. What is...
You're calling him the Danny Trejo of coaching.
So we're saying that Clemson is a Dabo Swinney vehicle.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
It is a Dabo Swinney vehicle. And its pilot is I don't even want to think about what tiny alien creature would be behind his face if you unhinged it. Just another smaller Dabo.
Smaller Dabo forever.
Just a little Dabo in that Dabo robot.
Ever descending Dabos.
I would also point out this, that if they take another major coach, then we've got another round of cannibalizing. This is talking about Dabo is of course our humorous way of addressing this issue. But if this happens, then you're looking at Texas pulling, say, I don't know, Nick Saban from Alabama. Alabama having to pull a head coach from somewhere else, who I imagine, by the way, won't be a coordinator. It'll probably be somebody who has done the job before. It's a novel idea, Florida fans. But someone who's actually been head coach before, imagine that. And if not, might take a chance on somebody like Kirby Smart. You know,
yeah. Either it's Kirby Smart or it's somebody like Jimbo or Charlie Strong or James Franklin, something like that.
Yeah, and by the way, that's still out there. Remember, James Franklin just lurking,
just still yet to be hired by somebody else.
Still yet to get out of Vanderbilt. Escape from Vanderbilt. It's almost like they don't want to leave.
He must have been really annoyed that USC didn't even like do him the courtesy of flying him out there just so he could go to California during the winter. Even if they weren't gonna hire him. Just, you know, throw him a bone.
Just, you know, just a recruiting trip. That's all I think. Like, he's such an intense recruiter. I think he thinks in terms of everything like recruiting. Right?
Right.
So he's like, I just wanted an official visit.
And that's honestly, it might count when they inevitably need to hire another coach in 3 years.
Are you saying Steve Sarkisian is not the first ranked choice one would imagine USC would go for?
Yeah, just give it him. Give it a minute.
I'm sorry.
That's all I'm saying. Just give it a minute, Mr. Franklin.
I think they're going to do very well in multiple holidays bowl.
It worked for Mack Brown.
It's true.
Yeah, you know, win ten games, go to the Holiday Bowl, wreck some shit. Rudy Carpenter felt the sting of Mack Brown's wrath.
Wreck Rudy Carpenter.
Yeah, that's it.
Literally.
Oh, God. I've never in all the time, the vast 2 years I've been doing this for a living, the year and a half, the 800 years I've been doing this, I've never seen anyone take as bad a beating as Rudy Carpenter took.
There are people who love him who had to watch that happen.
Can you, like, you know, like, that's no small matter. You know, like, I get scared watching my child attempt to transfer from leaning on the coffee table to leaning on the sofa, right? My little 10-month-old. I get the fear of death in me watching it. Now, imagine that with a 270-pound man burying a helmet in your loved one's lumbar. I mean, that's terrifying. Awful.
And it's brought to you by Mac Brown.
it's brought to you by Arizona State. It's brought to you by Dennis Erickson. Remember. Yeah,
it's a Dennis Erickson joint right
Dennis
there.
Dennis Erickson. He doesn't care about your loved ones. No.
I think we're all pretty clear on that now.
Just throwing you straight to the Mac Brown wolves.
Yeah, that's not anything that anybody wants to watch. And yet people keep doing it. I think my favorite tweet on that, by the way, after Arizona State got its ass handed to them by Stanford, was our own Ben Muth, who also writes for Football Outsider, saying, "I feel so bad for Arizona State and the constant chain of con men they hire as football coaches."
It's like watching the first half of The Music Man over and over again. No, don't buy the trombones, you dummies!
The man from Hadleyburg. That's just their story over and over again. But this, by the way, not the only thing going on. We actually have football, actual football being played soon, yes?
Yeah.
You could call it football.
That's no way to talk about Army-Navy, sir.
Oh, well, that's hardly football. That's a matter of national security,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, I like sir. Army. As always, I like Army and Navy in this game.
Uh-huh. Hard to take a stand against either.
That's
I like Coast Guard.
Suck it.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Coast Guard. I knew somebody, by the way. I was. Did you ever know anybody who went to the Coast Guard Academy?
No.
Can't no? Okay, I did.
I think I did, but go on.
Yeah, they were a little, they're a little insecure about that. They like to remind you that they exist.
The coast is very important. There's a lot of it. And someone could drive a boat right up on the shore.
You've seen Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
That's not what we do, but...
Yeah.
it's still water.
In an alternate ending, it could have been relevant.
If they had gotten out of the sub and embarked via jet skis, that would have been us.
I've seen Saving Private Ryan. I know how this goes.
Yeah.
You've seen Independence Day. You know the Coast Guard.
That's true. Just shaking a fist at those aliens from a boat.
You've seen Almost Famous. You know the Coast Guard.
You know,
what's sad is that there actually is a Coast Guard movie, that terrible one with Kevin Costner.
I was about to say about the rescue swimmers.
Wait, is it called Coast Guard?
It should just be called
Coast It's actually Guard. Called Coast Guard 2, The Coastening.
Weekend
Kevin, at... Kevin Costner?
Weekend at Coast Guard.
That's it.
Coast Guard.
Huh. But yeah, that's they get a little defensive about it and like to remind you that it exists. Yeah, I went to the Coast Guard Academy. It's real. Okay, buddy. There you go. But after we get Army-Navy, which is a very beautiful thing and a very great thing that I think you should watch in person. And to be honest, it's sometimes compelling football because they're both triple option teams. And the point swing when you've got one team capable of just giving up an 80-yard run to another team, they can be pretty large, and they can be very entertaining. However, we do actually have football in the form of our sort of pre-Christmas games, which, what are these, by the way, in the larger scale of college football existence when you look at them? How would one best phrase what they mean? They're not exactly the spoils of victory.
They are... Okay, so the games right before New Year's Eve, those are the bread you get at a restaurant. If there's something else you get before the bread, like if there's some sort of crouton or, you know what it is? If there's club crackers on the table at a restaurant, and you are like, I'm really hungry, I can't wait for them to even bring the bread, these are the club crackers.
Okay, so now you've taken us back to, like, the December 26th games.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to go all the way back to December 21st. Is that, like, making reservations? Is that,
dirty,
like...
Dirty water glass left from the last party.
Okay, that's like wiping off the table yourself.
Maybe a chicken finger left on a plate when you're like, no, we'll take that table. No, you can clean it while we're sitting here.
Yeah, that's going into the movie theater early, seeing they haven't gotten all the popcorn yet and thinking, nobody's watching.
Yeah,
maybe. I'll think about it, you know. Alternately, by the way, I would say these are the sugar-free lollipop one would get at the dentist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe these are the dentist. This is if you endure the Vegas Bowl,
you get a decent prize at the end. You get wax lips.
You have clean teeth.
I don't know. The Vegas Bowl could be quite entertaining.
Yeah, I was just picking out. Actually, to be quite honest, the whole first Saturday of bowls looks pretty good.
Yeah. No. These are always, particularly by the way, the Gildan. The Gildan, which I like saying the Gildan rather than the New Mexico Bowl, because I appreciate an affordable, form-fitting athletic sweatshirt. But not a bad slate. And traditionally, by the way, these, because the expectations are so very low, that you tend to get, you know, a much better product than one might expect, because you're expecting crap and you get sugar-free lollipop.
Man. Yeah, well, look at last year, Bama Notre Dame. That game was awful, except for people who hate Notre Dame, which is everyone, so it was great. But as an actual game, it was awful. Whereas the first day had probably the best game. It was Arizona, whoever Arizona played.
Fighting Arizona.
It was Arizona.
That was Arizona, yeah. Nevada.
Yeah. That was probably the best game of the whole bowl season.
Yeah, a wild game.
And the best part about the New Mexico Bowl, you're fighting for a piece of pottery.
Yep.
And don't forget your chili cook-off.
Yeah,
boy. Which I always enjoyed when it was BYU and, you know,
now,
Mormons making chili.
Let's hope that Washington State wins the Gildan just so Mike Leach can be presented a piece of pottery and then he can, like, tell them why it's not authentic or whatever. Because, like, he knows as much about Native American culture as anybody in the stadium.
Well, you see here, these markings and wingings on the side, those are indicative of a kind of modern alloy clay that we really, you don't get that here. That's mixed with a little bit of, you know, fine industrial sand. The real Navajo ones, they're going to have cracks, little bit of edge on it. I don't believe in concussions.
Also, Chief Gildan, he wasn't anywhere near New Mexico.
He wasn't. He was good. The way they split up their spoils is that they'd bring the prey back to camp. And then he'd just eat it raw, the whole thing right there, just like Hal Mummy would. And, you know, he'd just get everything there, and then whatever else was left, that's what they got. I don't believe in injuries either.
And then everyone got a logo-free T-shirt.
And then a logo-free T-shirt was procured for everyone in the tribe. I could talk like Mike Leach for a really long time. I wanted to kind of go ahead and at least take a gander at some of these, because there is quality here, and you're going to watch it, because this is all you get. And speaking of Mike Leach, lo and behold, boom, 6-6, 3-3 in conference. One of the small miracles, college football, Washington State in a motherfucking bowl game.
Yeah. All right, I will ask you this. Maybe you know. Maybe you don't. Who has been to a bowl game more recently? Washington State or their opponent in this game, Colorado State?
Colorado State.
Man, I'm gonna say Colorado State in the first year of the coach they fired before McElwain. I believe that was fair.
Wow, you've nailed it. It's Steve Fairchild. 7-6 won the New Mexico Bowl. So that probably tips in Colorado State's favor. They've been here before.
They have experience. They know the grandest of stages.
Yeah, absolutely. With totally different players, but still.
Yeah, totally different administration.
Residual memory.
Yeah, that's... Hey, Saban. Saban. McElwain.
Saban to Texas, y'all.
McElwain got all that Saban on.
Colorado.
Saban to Colorado State. Going to reunite with McElwain. Get the band back together.
Saban to Gildan Corporate.
going to dominate this t-shirt game.
Haynes is fucked.
No tag. That's all you got. I would also point out in this game, by the way, you're going to see a whole lot of Connor Halliday. Oh my God. If you haven't watched Connor Halliday play football, there's a lot of it.
Do you think he's tired of it at this point? Do you think he's like, you know, coach, it's clear I'm not that good. Why are we doing this?
It's kind of brilliant, actually. Like, when you watch it, you're kind of like, yeah, he hates this guy.
It feels like watching an art film that I don't really get.
You know, you have those dreams where you're put out on the field and you're asked to just throw and throw and throw, even though you have no idea what you're doing. And
Connor Halliday is living that dream.
That nightmare. He's just living it over and over and over again, man.
I don't know the plays. This hurts.
Yeah, that's all he's doing over and over. But it's still very entertaining and a team very capable of A, either coming back from its own incompetence very quickly, or B, imploding spectacularly.
Yeah, I'm in.
Which of these two teams? Because that kind of sounds like both.
Both. I'm just going to go both. There's a lot of potential disaster here.
There's just a lot of potential. Just all around, period. Potential in every direction.
In every single direction. I'd also remind you, Colorado State, they lost to Colorado.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's, that ain't good.
Actually, so these teams in the last 2 years, each of them has lost to Colorado.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, but they held Bama to 31 points. That's something, right?
Okay.
You know,
so if Washington State comes out and tries to run the, like, have a 330-pound left tackle run smash game, then Colorado State's got them sewed up.
Oh, we've seen this. We've seen this before, boys.
We know exactly what to do about this.
I'm ready for it. Let's make it happen. Then the 330 game that day, that would be the Las Vegas Bowl, featuring the saddest thing in the world, an Ed Orgeron-less USC team. Clay Helton, interim head coach for this one, not Ed, who I respect because they didn't hire him and he walked right out of the place.
Yeah. Now, do we have to call Mr. Helton? Do we have to call him Uncle Clay?
No. Who comes, like, is he just Clay? Is that when you stop actually is that when you lose all respect for adults, period, and just start calling them by their first name?
Or maybe just act like you don't know his name?
Like the stepdad you've never accepted.
Yeah, like dad number three. That's when you start, like, there was dad, you know? And then there was new dad who all called dad. And then there's Todd.
And there was Clay. Ken.
Yeah, or Ken, you know? And, like, you didn't give a shit about Ken. You're like, ah, man, what? Ken works at a factory or some dumb fuck shit like that. No, it's a boat.
And they also have another dad coming. This is a transitional dad.
Oh, man.
Who can't live up to the dad they wanted, who was not their original dad.
Yeah.
This is complicated.
These young men need leadership and guidance.
God, they just need a little bit of love and some continuity in their life. Man, you made me feel bad for USC emotionally.
Yeah.
And they're USC. That's hard to do.
That's what the Las Vegas Bowl's all about.
Is there any possibility that USC is going to play this game and fans are going to go watch this and say, oh, shit. We should have hired Tim DeRuiter. He's right over there and he's fucking kicking our asses.
There is an extreme possibility of this happening.
Because I'm very excited about that.
This sort of reminds me of when Zook was fired and did not coach the bowl game. And Charlie Strong had to coach the most unmotivated Florida team in recent memory. Except for, you know, except for losing to Georgia Southern. But yeah, that's what this kind of reminds me of. That's why I think Fresno State's going to win. I know that the talent level's, like, not even close. Not at all, but that doesn't really matter here.
Don't care.
And what, they're in Vegas? Certainly no distractions for USC there. None whatsoever, sir.
Yeah, they lost the Sun Bowl last year. Let's not give them too much credit.
That's to Georgia Tech. Never forget they lost that game.
Now, every single time you see the score of that game was 21-7, do you still like do a double take and go look at the box score to verify? Because like, I know USC lost, but by 2 touchdowns to Georgia Tech?
No, I still
cannot believe that.
No, happened. I remember how it happened. I actually burned it into my. I was like, okay, listen, you're gonna do that. So what you need to do is remember exactly how this happened.
Like I remember it as being 14-7, but no, it was worse than that.
It was so much worse. And admittedly, I think the absence of Lane Kiffin alone gives USC a little bit of hope here, because that was a man who sort of took indifference and, you know, was a catalyst to really bumping it up to outright don't care. Like, yeah. Total lack of concern for how the team does.
He might show up in this game.
He might. Ed Orgeron might.
Oh, man. You think they'll fight? You think they'll kiss?
I don't see Lane Kiffin caring enough about anything to do either of those things ever.
Yeah.
No, but I could see Lane Kiffin just being in Las Vegas and happening and hearing there's a football game and going to it.
I like football. I guess I'll go watch a football game.
His alma mater and his former school. So.
Yeah. Why you're talking shit about Florida's new offensive coordinator, I don't know.
Don't stop.
Go Gators.
This is the bowl episode. We don't have to talk about Florida.
So much sadness. Idaho Potato Bowl.
Yawn. Famous. Famous.
You're goddamn right. Yes. Please say the famous.
I'm sorry. This
shit is famous, y'all.
Famous, as opposed to the negligible underground hipster potato bowl.
The infamous potato bowl.
The infamous. The potato that killed Moscow.
That potato burned down my house.
It killed Moscow. So Moscow, Idaho?
Yeah,
it was right around the corner.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Moscow, Idaho. That would be the one that lived in Boise and that everyone secretly is like, he's a bastard and a murderer. We love him.
Yeah, yeah. The most popular potato in Boise.
He ruined that town forever. That's why he's a saint.
That's why he's the mayor.
Yeah, that's why he's the mayor of Boise. That's
that secret poisonous potato that for some reason everyone in Moscow just kept eating it.
Some people
replenished itself.
Some people real sad about Chris Peterson going, but we still got that potato.
Is he anthropomorphic? Nope, just a regular tater.
No, is it like powers. Is it like really big and it fell from the sky and it squashed the entire town? Nope. Just look at it. You can hold it in your hand.
Half pound, maybe. Maybe
think
two
fast,
folks.
Throwing him at you.
So yeah, now that we've established the real advantage that Boise has, not Chris Peterson, but the giant evil potato that they love. He's like Mao. You know, he was cruel, he's a bastard, but you know, he was theirs. The Idaho Potato Bowl with this is, by the way, I have two names that make this game worth watching, okay? And you already know the first one for Buffalo, correct?
Yeah.
And that would be Khalil Mack.
Jim Kelly. Oh,
Jeff Quinn.
Jeff, the dynamic, the amazing Jeff Quinn. No, I'm referring to Khalil Mack.
He's good. He's mean.
He is mean. And he is going to.
He's gonna hit. He's gonna punch that potato in the face.
He is. You know what? I pay to watch that. I pay to watch Khalil Mack beat
if
up.
Anybody
tuber,
can
beat
shut
up
down
tubers.
That potato? It's Khalil Mack.
I would. That's how much I like Khalil Mack. I'd pay to watch him beat up tubers. The but you get that, and then he'll be on the field with another little mean bastard, Adam Moema.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who's like one of my San Diego State runs the crap out of the ball. I mean, they are really good at running the ball. They have a 1,000-yard rusher. Their backup's got like 750. I mean, they are really good. This will be a very physical football game.
This is a highly underrated game. Like both these teams play hard, tough. The Buffalo likes to run the ball hard too. They both have big running backs, and San Diego State's backup got that Mike Allstott look to him.
Yeah, no, he's there. They are both thumping little teams, and I don't say the little as any form of like insult. They're both actually kind of smallish.
They are pretty small.
They are small, but
they, They can talk about losing to Ohio State and how that's funny now.
The funniest.
a black mark on both of their resumes.
In an inversion of everything we consider to be normal and right, remember, this was the year this was the year when Mark D'Antonio saved us all.
Aw.
Think about it. He was like, "You'll love me one day. One day."
And now next year he's gonna like reinvent smallpox. need to thin the herd.
They are going to just come along. This is all that Mark D'Antonio is going to do. They're going to come along. It'll be like preseason number 5. And they'll just go back to just running the ball 500 times a game.
Go 8-5.
Go 8-5. Oh, it's coming. Like, this much goodwill in a coach, that's the way it always bounces back, right? Like,
in D'Antonio's memoirs, he'll be like, "I did it on purpose. Everyone was too happy. I couldn't stand it."
Well, you know, Mark D'Antonio made a video back in like April of him standing in the middle of the Rose Bowl, right, for his team, saying, "Well, you're going to be the ones." And look at this. Isn't it beautiful? Just got chills, you know. And this is back in April. And look at you. You're here now. So very motivational, right? So this year he's going to go to like Boise. They might shoot the video while he was there, right? Like, might just fly while the bowl game's going on and go, "Oh man, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. It's what you bastards deserve. A little bit of humility. We were planning this all along."
I heard you ahead of time in July when you were talking about how great this upcoming season's going to be. That's why I'm standing here in March at the Independence Bowl.
Oh my God.
Because you are the ones.
Maybe Mark D'Antonio's like, maybe he's the college football time lord. And that's why he's so grumpy.
You only hear about these videos when they work out, though. Like, nobody's like, "Oh, hey, did you hear how Dana Holgorsen went to Rio and took a video in a soccer stadium?" It was like, "We're going to win the World Cup, guys."
Yes, that's happened.
I'm here on Ipanema Beach, just him and a Speedo.
That's what I want. I want to hear about ridiculous predictions that didn't go anywhere, like Tim Beckman in the Rose Bowl being like, "We're going to be in this game. Why are you laughing at me through this television monitor?"
The mountains behind him crumbling at the sound of his voice.
He's wearing a hat and some guy from Northwestern just snatches it off his head. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's Roger Sherman.
It's our own beloved SBN's own Roger Sherman. But yeah, that's it. No, you never hear about that. You never hear about Dennis Franchione did it, right? Like, this is the Super Bowl, boys. But,
yeah, except Dennis Franchione charged his players for it. He's like, "Yep, it's going to be $9.95 a copy. You're going to want to see it.
I know our bowl destination 6 months ahead of time.
We have a vacation." We have a vacation package. You can travel as a normal player, or under our Aggie Plus package, you can, upgrade a bit. Bring the family.
This also gets you a 2-month subscription to my Stock Tips.
Ding, 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 ding. Cash, cash. He hits a button and you get the Jim Cramer noises. Man, of all the people in college football who thought that was cool, I bet Dennis Franchione wanted a big old table like that. It'd be great if I could hit a button that just went, "Woo!" Recruits would love that. The that's a hell of a tangent, boys. Let's move on. That would be the New Orleans Bowl. New Orleans Bowl. I'm always, by the way, a really fun game.
Yeah.
Like, really, really fun. A couple of years in a row. And I'm not just saying that because Howard Schnellenberger won one of these. Nope. I'm saying that because Lafayette went first time in, like, forever and won it on, like, an improbable, huge, big, long, incredible field goal. So, another underrated bowl, and not just because you get to, a small school gets to go to New Orleans. This is as Louisiana as can possibly get. That'd be Tulane v. Lafayette. That is not a typo. That is Tulane at 7-5 in a bowl game in American college football.
Yeah, in the Superdome. And recall, this is the game that 2 years ago gave us a strength coach headbutting players and bleeding from the head for the entire game.
Yes, and I want to say one of Jason Kirk's finest moments as a writer. All over that story from the minute it happened.
We pounced on that story.
Like, no, 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 I see blood, boys. Go back. Enhance. That's also the guy who was in the military and likes to just have his players do things that hurt. He's a great strength coach. Louisiana Lafayette, probably America's strongest football coach, and HUD.
Yeah, so we've heard.
Yeah, no. Can outbench numerous NFL draft picks.
Certainly, the one most willing to back it up and show that he's the strongest. So,
who's the one who won't? Who's the one who just says doesn't want people to know how frighteningly strong he actually is?
Mm.
Bill Snyder.
Yeah.
Bill Snyder probably does it really old timey ways too, like bending nails.
Well, and he
wearing a singlet.
Right, he only lives in the old timey bathing suit with riding his bicycle with one very big wheel and one very small wheel.
Don't take a tumble off of one of these. It's what killed Taft. And I know because we were roommates. And then I would go ahead and we'll take this all the way up to the Beef O'Brady's Bowl, which if I have to pick a game that's going to suck more than any of these others, I'm going to lean toward Beefs.
Why
the hell does Beef O'Brady still have a bowl sponsorship?
All right, do you want to know the answer to that?
Yeah, I actually would.
It doesn't cost that much to sponsor the Beef O'Brady's Bowl.
And also, there's no one to revoke it. It's not like OSHA is going to come around and say, this food is inedible. You cannot sponsor a bowl game.
Yeah, really, as long as you're making basic health codes, people are going to keep eating it. You know, like, you can't stop people from showing up for, you know, by the way, one of the weirdest menus you will ever look at, something Holly Anderson does annually. I failed because she always fools me with the fake item, corned beef wontons. Which, by the way, like, I'm telling you, I'm going to fall for it again. She's going to ask me to take it. I'm going to take it. And corned beef wontons is going to sound so probable that even though I am telling you now that I know it's fake, I'm still going to pick it because I want them to exist.
Is it possible that Beefos doesn't pay for the sponsorship, but the bowl pays them? Just because they're we really can't be the Tropicana Field Bowl.
No, I seem to remember this. It only costs something like $200,000 or $150,000. Like which sounds like a lot of money, but you know that's like a house. You know,
in Florida, that's like three houses.
Well, yeah. are we buying in Apopka?
Yeah, why would we not?
the beautiful hometown of Warren Sapp. How could it be bad?
We're gonna get one in Apopka, one in Waldo, and two in Waldo. Correction.
This led to my thinking that one day we're going to Kickstarter a bowl sponsorship. I don't know how, but we're going to make it happen.
Well, why don't we just get a Beef O'Brady's franchise, just go crazy with that money, and use that money to... Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I just clicked on the online application for the franchise link, and it's a dead link, so never mind.
Darn it. We were so close.
I know. We our dreams.
Now, what if Beef O'Brady's paid a sponsor like 5 years ago and just hasn't been sending in the payments, and the bowl just doesn't have the heart to take their name off?
Well, that's a lot of stationery to replace.
Or it could be one of those things where it auto-bills their credit card and they keep forgetting to cancel it.
And they accidentally used a gift card?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of merit to this because they're probably like, oh, we made the banner. We'd have to make another one.
Yeah, we really can't afford a new banner every year. So.
Yeah, please also remember this is the bowl game by the way, I went to this bowl game and I've been to it.
You are so dumb.
I am the dumb dude, the dumbest. Whatever idea you have, I have a dumber one, and I've done it.
Did you go?
I went, I believe it was 2008, maybe 2007. It was when Memphis, if you would look this up, you can, if you're really interested in this
I'm sorry. We're talking about bowl season. You just said Memphis.
That's right.
I did. I went when Memphis, this is my story about this, by the way. Story time. I went when Memphis played USF. And this was the last year, I believe, before Tommy West really imploded. Like, remember Tommy West had this big speech when he, you know, was fired about hey, I got to go, but these people really need to think about whether they even want to have football. Like, he told everyone to kiss his ass in the post and the presser. It was beautiful. This was the year before that when they actually won a they actually got to a bowl game and won some football games on a field. So they played USF and were going to get thrashed, and they knew it. Because in the hotel the night before, there was a black sorority and fraternity reunion. And a lot of very attractive ladies in their mid-40s. And a bunch of Memphis football players trying to pick up Mrs. Huxtable. That's what that entire night was. They were up all night hanging out at this thing in sweatpants trying to hook up. So the next night... Okay, and I know that because I was stumbling in from a bar late, and they were all out. And the next night, well, or the next thing in the game they played, it was one of the worst bowl games I have ever watched. On TV, in person, Memphis was wretched. Just a shell of itself. And one might think, oh, they didn't get their money's worth out of this experience. Au contraire. They dominated that hotel the night before.
The most, I should say, Central Florida thing about the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. So it's played in Tropicana Field, widely regarded to be a terrible baseball venue. But it doesn't have to be. They could easily play this game at Raymond James Stadium, given that it's, what, a good week plus before the Outback Bowl? And they just won't do it. Because they would rather play in what is essentially the world's largest, dumpiest garage.
Yes.
And it's kind of a rec room.
It is. Well, it feels like...
No, because you have fun in a rec room.
And I've said this before. It feels like when you, as a kid, had a kiddie pool and you flipped it over and there was this kind of sick green light that shone through the plastic. That's what it's like all over. It's like an enormous overturned kid's pool. It's really bad.
It's terrible.
I got on the field at the game through very little effort. Right afterwards, so during the, like, you know, when they're all hoisting the trophy up, that was me 2 feet away from Jim Leavitt. I think he high-fived me, which was very weird, but it was a very aggressive and painful high five because, you know, that's how Jim Leavitt's love is.
So East Carolina won 9 games, beat NC State, nearly beat Virginia Tech. Beat North Carolina, and their reward is that they get to play at 2 o'clock on a Monday in St. Petersburg, Florida,
on a field that might as well be concrete.
Yes,
sucks.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
you suck, Beef O'Brady's Bowl. I hope you die.
Yeah, that's strong words from Ryan, but
that's a considered opinion, and it is valid.
It is valid because ECU deserves better than this, and they are going to fucking plow Ohio.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Frank Solich.
Sorry. No, don't apologize to Frank Solich. He doesn't want your pity. God damn it, Eric. It's because he looks like Red Foreman. He really does. Then we will finish up with the last one. This is the Hawaii Bowl, which is always the saddest one to me because it's the one that, if you're watching it, it means you're unloved. Because it's
Christmas Eve night.
It's at 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve night. This is the ultimate sad, I have burned every bridge in my life bowl game. If you're really paying close attention to this and you're not a Boise State fan or an Oregon State fan, reconsider some things.
So what you're saying is that Jewish people are unloved.
Damn it.
Is that who this bowl's for?
You got me. This is the Jews Bowl. It's the Chosen Bowl. If you don't have anything else to do, then chosen people of the world, you can go ahead and mosey on over to, the Hawaii Bowl, which, by the way, should be kind of a fun shootout. This is not a low-quality game at all.
If it involves Oregon State, there will be shootouting. I don't know if Boise State's got the shootout in them.
They've got fumbles though. If you like fumbles,
they can bring that thunder.
Yeah,
they got a decent little defense. So maybe there's your matchup.
Yeah, there's that as well. Might have new head coach Houston Nutt by then.
Never know.
I don't think Houston Nutt's going to be the coach at
Boise. Never know.
Never know. A little helping. Just Houston Nutt flying
He did it before. He's the architect of that program.
He is. Went 5-6. Never forget, by the way, that that's how the Houston Nut Cannonball run to the pinnacle of the old Miss football program started. It was a 5-6, a rousing 5-6 in Boise State.
Just 1 year, too. Just emerged in Idaho and left.
He made it count.
5-6, and Arkansas it was did. Like, it, let's. Arkansas was like, let's wife that. Let's do that now. Arkansas, you are the best. Don't ever stop being you.
They have remained them, based on their last two hires.
It's like deciding to marry the long haired guy in Hootie and the Blowfish.
What did you do in high school, Mom, that you were so ashamed of? I gave a blowjob to a guy. To who? Dad? No.
No. You're real dad, though.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God. Who? The spin doctors. All of them? No.
The worst one.
The worst just, one. The bass player. Oh, God.
The chiropractor.
Yeah. He wasn't even in the band. He was a roadie / herbal healer. A drug dealer? No, not even that cool. He was the guy with the ginseng.
There's no euphemism. He was literally a chiropractor.
Yeah. Oh, God. So I would say this, that the worst of the early batch is decidedly the Bevo Brady's Bowl, because I just think Ohio's going to get rolled, unless East Carolina just really doesn't want to show up. And then
who could blame them?
I couldn't blame them either. This sucks for them. So why not take it out, beat the hell out of somebody, then go on down to the beach. Go on down to Frenchie's and get you some grouper nuggets.
Grouper.
that's Ryan, a Tampa Bay native.
Wow.
I wasn't raised right.
Giving the war cry of his people.
that's true. The state song of Florida is just Gruber. That's it. That's the whole thing.
That and a little Molly Hatchet, and you've got our entire cultural legacy. That's it. The whole damn state. Let it fall into the water and just take that. But yeah, there's that. I think the best of the early bunch, if I had to just pick one off there, it's just going to be bananas and really fun to watch. For curiosity, I'm going to take the Potato Bowl, because I just think that's a slugfest and an entertaining one at that.
All right. I'll take the New Mexico Bowl then. So, huh.
Put me down for the NOLA.
The NOLA? That's a really strong pick. Mm. Are we all agreed that the Beefs is the worst of this?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
fuck
yeah.
The Beefs.
Damn those people. Why are you doing that to Ruffin McNeil? He's done nothing to you.
He's a good man. He wears his khakis really high.
He does. He sweats. He sweats when it's 50 degrees. He can't help it. He's just like you. The other thing that we have to discuss before we get too far along here is the other thing that, you know, you probably will watch, which is the Heisman, which we've invited like 40 people. It was really cool of them. I don't even know how Skylar Morningway got in there, but he's in there.
He earned it.
You know, well done. Do you have any thoughts on this, Ryan? Because I don't. I don't care about the Heisman.
No. What is really annoying about the Heisman is some years, okay, fine, there's like some debate over who's going to win or if it's going to be a close vote, whatever. But in years like this, when everybody sort of said, okay, Jameis Winston's going to win, it's just sort of a matter of how badly he crushes everybody else. I wish the other, I don't know why the other nominees who were there take it so damn seriously. Like, I would just show up. I would show up in white jeans and like a teal tank top.
I'm just going to call that, by the way. That's the Zabransky. That's the Jared Zabransky.
Yeah. And I would just fuck around the whole time. I'd bring a Sega Game Gear. I'd leave the volume on full blast. I just play Echo the Dolphin the whole time, through the interview, through the ceremony. I hope Johnny Manziel brings his trophy and is just like making jack-off motions with it the whole time.
Just brings it and like awards it to himself.
Yeah.
Just does various things. I think he could, you know, do various things with it. Hit it like a bong.
Right. Halfway through. wrap it in wrapping paper, and then open it up in the middle of the ceremony, pretend to be surprised. For me? From Santa?
I would have it delivered on a silver platter in a cartoonishly fake butler.
That'd be good.
You know, like a phone, like, or, you know, with, like, on a silver platter with a lid.
Under silver, yeah.
Yeah, right. So you don't know what it is. Like, oh,
you.
Sir. Thank you, Buxley. I think, by the way, that if you're actually talking about the player who was most important to their team, and you're going to look at it, it'd probably still be Johnny Manziel. I mean, just in terms of what he's done statistically.
Yeah, important doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, look at it this way: how much better could A&M have been, given what they were? I don't think. In terms of overall importance, it's him or Andre Williams.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
You know?
I still don't care, but I'm good with it, I guess.
It doesn't make me care because stupid people are involved. Like
I only care when, like, people say dumb things about, you know, A.J. McCarron or who are the other ones that people say really dumb things? Derek Carr?
Yeah.
That's when I start caring. People say Derek Carr should be in there because he had 900 passing attempts. I'd made up that number, but that's when I care.
No, that seems accurate to me. Although I would point out, if Derek Carr had 900 passing attempts, Connor Halliday had 8,000.
Yeah.
Connor Halliday for Heisman.
What did I do, Coach Leach? you know what you did.
Is this the equivalent of, like, your dad catches you smoking one cigar, so he makes you smoke the whole box? What are you throwing that ball for? You're going to throw a million!
You see, Major McGillicuddy was one of the guys who wronged the Navajo back in 1873. Went bad on a treaty with them, treated them terribly. Hold on, I got a dip. So like I said, it was Major McGillicuddy who went on to, father a series of children that ended with you. You're the last of the line, Connor Halliday. You're the only one who can atone for their sins, and that's why I'm going to get you concussed.
Which isn't real.
No, not real. I'm just going to send you out there and take the lucid, clear ass whipping you deserve just to avenge the Navajo.
Plausible.
Totally plausible. Roll damn Leach.